Well, Cathy O'Hara is our first guest at 13 after 9. Morning to you, Cathy.
Morning, Ben. How are you?
I'm well. How was it jumping back aboard a horse this morning?
Yeah, no, it was good. I was really looking forward to getting back and good to be back in the saddle.
It's come a lot quicker than what probably the doctors planned when you had the fall on single gaze.
Yeah, look, initially after my operation, David Duckworth said, you know, probably prognosis would be 12 weeks. But it healed really well and everything's gone to plan. So, yeah, I had my first morning back and it was probably, like I said, about 6 weeks ahead of schedule. So, very good.
I was just going to say how far ahead. So you're 6 weeks ahead of where they had you.
Yeah, basically.
You're a fit person, Cathy. Outside the injury suffered in that, the body's responded well to mending.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it felt good. The actual injury felt good this morning, riding work. And, you know, I mean, other than the usual stiff and soreness because I had 6 weeks off from riding, everything was really good.
Yeah, fantastic. How many did you jump aboard? Was it just a light morning to kickstart?
I actually jumped on six. There's probably a couple more than I anticipated doing. But, like I said, everything felt pretty good. So
have a bath
tonight. Hopefully I don't pull up too stiff tomorrow and carry on. And I'll get back to the trials next week. Hopefully Rose Hill next Friday, find a couple of trials to do and get back into it.
Yeah, fantastic. Are you one that when you have enforced time off, given, you know, what's happened with you, can you sleep in?
Initially, no, I didn't sleep very well because it was uncomfortable, you know.
Yeah,
I always
yeah.
sleep on my side and I basically was forced to sleep on my back for a month. So I didn't sleep very well to begin with, but I settled into a bit of a routine. So back out of the lazy routine and getting up and going to track work early again, but, you know, I like doing it.
Yeah, it's what you love. It's a part of us. You get up and you get going. Had you been riding one or two of your own horses? Was that right?
Yeah. For the last couple of weeks, I've been riding my own horse at home, and she's she's pretty good to ride. So I said it'd be good to jump on board her and test it out first before getting back on a racehorse. But it's been really good, and I haven't had any trouble with it. So. Couldn't ask anymore, really.
Well, it sounds like you sound bubbly. Yesterday or after the races yesterday, the inquiry took place and it was deemed by stewards that no jockey. It was just a part of racing. It was fairly tight at the time, obviously, when you came down, and that's been dealt with and you get on with it now. You mentioned the trials tomorrow week and then I guess you wait and see where you could return.
Yeah, look, I mean, David Duckworth's been great. He gave me... he's given me clearance to obviously come back this morning, track work, and I'm going back to see him next week to see how I get through it all. And I'm hoping he'll give me clearance to ride at Hawkesbury Tuesday week, all going well.
Okay, so Tuesday week at Hawkesbury. It's a quick recovery, 6 weeks in front of yourself where you were back in those times when you had the fall. I was talking to Nick Olive recently and she's out enjoying a bit of a spell and she'll be back. Things come around pretty quickly when you start talking of the spring.
Yeah, exactly. Look, you know, obviously being at the inquiry yesterday and watching the fall, she took a really hard slap. I'm really pleased that she's come through all right because she's a tough cookie, I tell you. Her fall was much worse than mine.
Certainly right in amongst it there was single gaze. And we know the talent. We saw the talent the race before that, so we're looking forward to seeing her back. Hey, Cathy, good to hear you. You sound very bubbly and enthusiastic. We'll follow it, but we look forward to seeing you back.
Thanks, Ben.
Good on you, Cathy. Cathy O'Hara joining us there, who had the fall off single gaze in the Oaks. What about the Australian Turf Club Derby?
Jamaica, Newitt goes for the whip now on Tarzino. Tully's a length behind him. Tavago for New Zealand's giving a great side. He shook off the filly, Jamaica. Tarzino can't win. Tully went past it, but Tavago's clearing the Derby. Tully down the outside, trying to get up for second from Jamaica, but Tavago is going to run them ragged in the Australian Derby.
Yeah, Tavago was incredible on that day, and co-trainer Trent Busserton's online from New Zealand. Hello to you, Trent.
Hi, Andrew. How are you, mate?
Good, mate. I know it was only audio, but do you still get quite excited when you either hear it or see it?
Yeah, for sure. You certainly don't get sick of hearing that.
No, it was quite incredible. I mean, I don't know how many times you've watched the video and when was the last time, but just the burst of speed to run away from his rivals.
Yeah, like early on, in the early part of his three-year-old campaign, he did have a massive turn of foot. Blake Shin rode him to an unlucky third on Karaka Millions night in Auckland, and he got off and said, you know, he did have a great acceleration, but sort of things went pear-shaped after that, and just got a bit jarred up and lost a bit of confidence. But we knew the motor was there. It was just a matter of, you know, whether the horse was right or not, and obviously he was.
He's spelled here in Australia?
Yeah, we left him up in just outside of Sydney with a bit warmer weather, and he's heading down to Melbourne this week, where Troy and Leon Corsons have been kind enough to give us some help, and they're putting him into their pre-training operation out on the beach there, and he'll have 6 weeks down there and then head towards us in Cranbourne when we get over there early July.
Just to remind our listeners, you and your partner Natalie are setting up a base at Cranbourne. When do you officially get that, Trent?
Just talking to Neil from the Cranbourne Turf Club earlier in the week, and the takeover date's mid-July, so basically middle of July we'll be there.
And he'll walk. He'll be one of the first that'll walk in?
Yes, definitely. He'll be in box number one.
He will be. What are the reports on how he's spelled?
Yeah, he was enjoying his break to start with. He had his head down in the paddock for a bit, but he's jumping around now and ready to do something. So he's had a good 8 weeks off, and it's probably the first time the horse has had a decent spell, you know, throughout his whole career. So he's put on a bit of weight. He had to. He's only a skinny little fella, but he's definitely going to come back in as a stronger four-year-old, as most of them do, obviously.
Yeah, he would have really enjoyed it too, because I was just talking to the Hawkesbury track manager. We've had such a mild period that there'd be plenty for him to enjoy with that warm weather that we've had.
Yeah, and that was the reasoning with leaving him over there and leaving him up there in Sydney, exactly that, for the warmer climate.
Okay. Is it a simple case that he, in your eyes, hoping to be a Cups horse?
Yeah, I suppose it's just a logical step up in it for a Derby winner, that Caulfield Cup and Melbourne Cup, but I'm under no illusions that the step up that they have to take from their three-year-old to four-year-old now, you know, especially with the European and Japanese horse and everything, but Mongolian Khan showed last year that they can do it, and sort of Pride of Penzan, obviously in the Melbourne Cup, gives you a bit more hope that, you know, we can get back to winning those Melbourne Cups.
Yep, understand. So, all right, so he goes to the Mornington Peninsula for pre-training, and then he'll come into your stables, the new stables at Cranbourne, mid-July. At this stage, Trent, how many have you got to train once you open those stables?
We've got 40 boxes, and we'll probably bring over about 15 horses to start with on the first shipment of first plane, and they're, you know, young, unraced three-year-olds, and then probably another 12 to 15 to follow through, you know, once we get things set up and the operation running smoothly.
And you bought a few at recent sales here?
Yes, we've been busy. We've bought at the Magic Millions and at Inglis, both Melbourne and Sydney, so and obviously bought plenty at Karaka, so we'll have plenty of young yearlings coming through, and hopefully one or two of them can step up.
Yeah, well, look, I know it's been a move that you've been really looking into over the last couple of years, and fortunately you've now got that base at Cranbourne, and we look forward to seeing a lot more of Trent Busserton's horses with Natalie along the road. But Tavago, we'll follow the road to the spring. We thank you for your time, Trent.
Cheers, Andrew. Thank you.
Good on you, mate. Trent Busserton there. Tavago back into pre-training this later this week, and we can't wait for the spring. Tony Pike is joining us. He is another New Zealand trainer, but he's based in Brisbane at this stage for the Winter Carnival. Morning to you, Tony.
Morning, Andrew.
Gee, you've gone bang-bang with two horses, and we're looking forward to the rest of the winter, really, aren't we?
Yeah, hopefully. Obviously, a few lesser class races we've won so far, but it looks like they're both progressive types, and hopefully it'll be competitive in some of the better races over the coming weeks.
The latest one was Provocative yesterday. I guess you've just got to get some prize money and get stuck into it a little bit. Is that the thinking when you bring these lesser grade horses over here?
Yeah, it's never easy. It's difficult when you come over. She was one of the favourites for the New Zealand Derby, but unfortunately we had a small hiccup about a week out and had to pull her out of that. So she's come over with a lack of prize money to get into the Oaks, and look, Ipswich really wasn't her track and not the right race, but we didn't have a lot of options, but she got the job done yesterday. And so it's still very much touch and go whether she's going to get into the race, but if she doesn't, then we've got the opportunity to run her again and perhaps look at the Queensland Derby instead.
Okay, so the option is just see some sort of order of entry, I guess, and see where you are placed, maybe after this weekend.
Yeah, after this weekend, and obviously first acceptance is the next week, so we'll have much more of an idea once they're taken as well, and we'll just work from there.
Yeah, understand. The other one is Sacred Elixir, who won at the Sunny Coast on May 11, came off the pace and really showed a tremendous turn of speed for a youngster, Tony.
He's a lovely horse. We've always had a pretty high opinion of him. He did a great job in New Zealand over shorter trips that were really against him. He was probably even looking for a mile last preparation. So it was a strong win first up. He's a lovely big scopey horse, and he'll only improve from that run. Obviously, he's got a couple of bigger targets coming up with the Tyres and the JJ Atkins, but he's a horse I can't wait to get to Eagle Farm at a mile. I think that's really going to suit him.
We're hearing that a bit. Obviously, there's some jump outs today. There's another step closer to Eagle Farm. I know you drew wide at the Sunshine Coast. Is he capable, is he capable of being ridden closer?
Yeah, I think he is. He actually jumped very well at the Sunny Coast and probably almost travelled a touch fresh, to be fair, early. I just said to Damien just to let him find his feet and don't bustle him early, being fresh up over 1,400. So he rode it perfectly. But just the way he jumped and travelled at the Sunny Coast, I don't think he needs to be a mile off them, obviously, as long as he gets a barrier draw.
Yeah, okay. At the moment, in the JJ Atkins, and obviously the Sires is the next race and then the JJ, at the moment Sacred Elixir is $9 behind Suche. Attention is right in that market as well, and a few of the other locals. So we look forward to seeing that two-year-old in the Sires next start. How did Sacred Star come through?
Yeah, he's come through the race fine, Andrew. He's just on the back foot after being in the gates for a long time. He missed the kick a wee bit and was really chasing from there to try and hold his spot. He copped a couple of little checks in the run as well, and they ran pretty quick time that day, and he's probably just run off his feet a touch. So look, he's pulled up well. Whether he's up to the good weight for age horses, as a six-year-old, there's some nice young horses coming through the grades. Obviously Chris Waller's got a fair few up here, and look, we're just looking at dropping him back to the QTC Cup, and if he's competitive in that, then we can always look at the Stradbroke again, but most likely he'll go to QTC down to the Sunshine Coast for the Glasshouse.
Okay, so being conservative, he's 12 months on, or he won, significant races, but it's now 2 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. That was his carnival 2 years ago. He won the QTC Cup and was very unlucky off a wide gate in the Stradbroke. So, he's been a great horse, and look, he's not far off them, but there's a few of the younger boys now probably with a little bit more speed in their legs.
The one that our listeners need to get an update on is your New Zealand Derby winner in Rangipo in the last there, the Fred Best. Gee, this is one hell of a race, but you're in the last there. You've really targeted the shorter trip, obviously, and only want to get to a mile in Brisbane.
Yeah, lucky. I know he won the New Zealand Derby, but that was really just his heart got him across the line first. He was probably one of the first to pull up that day at it was a trip that really stretched him, and we never really actually thought he'd get the mile and a half. So, he's won at 1,000 metres, and he's been pretty versatile horse all the way through. So we've kept him nice and fresh for Saturday's race. He settled in really well over here. His work's been super this week, and it's just great to come up with a good barrier. Some of the better chances have drawn wide. He should be able to take up a nice spot just behind the speed. And he'll run a cheeky race even though it's only 1,350.
I was going to say, from that draw, Vinnie Colgan, who rode Provocative, so obviously stays in town, but he knows this horse extremely well. So sharp enough to win is what you've just basically said.
Yeah, look, as you said, that's a fantastic race. There's plenty of chances and some very good three-year-olds in it. So whether he can win at the 1,350, I don't know, but I think he's going to run a nice race anyway.
Okay. So this winter, it's up to a mile. You won't stretch him out. He'll only have sort of a couple or two or three runs?
Yeah, exactly. At this stage, obviously, we'll run on Saturday's race and we'll take it from there. It's most likely he'll head to the Queensland Guineas at a mile next start, which will really suit him. And we'll just start race by race with him and go from there.
Yeah, understand. Are they the only three or four, or have you got any more, Tony?
No, that's the only four. Yeah. There's four there, so that's it for the carnival. And it looks like some nice horses there, and hopefully we can get a bit of prize money in the next few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. No, they're all, well, as I say, Sacred Elixir and Provocative have both been very good. We look forward to seeing the one in the Fred Best on Saturday. Thanks for your time, Tony.
Not a problem, Andrew.
Good on you, mate. Tony Pike joining us there from Brisbane with horses that are lining up. Two winners so far, Provocative, not suited by Ipswich yesterday, but got around, won it pretty soft in the end. They'd like to get her into the Queensland Oaks, but they may struggle with prize money. We'll just have to wait and see what ends up with Provocative. Some general racing news this morning. Spoke with James Cummings about a couple of his. Good Standing is back in work for James, looking towards running in the Golden Rose first up. That's certainly one there. And the other one that I asked about was Prized Icon. Starts back into pre-training on Monday. They're looking at running in the up-and-coming first up. So that's the case with both of James Cummings. Good Standing, back in work, heading towards the Golden Rose first up, and Prized Icon back in work on Monday, and the up-and-coming is a probable first-up run. Terry Henderson's joining us from OTI Racing. Morning to you, Terry.
Morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you, mate. How you been? The last time I think we tried to ring you, we rang you and you're in Switzerland or somewhere like that.
It's possible, although we haven't bought a horse from Switzerland for a while.
You bought from most countries, though.
Yes, in fact, it's interesting to watch these Chilean races on the television occasionally because we've bought a few from down there and make pretty tough horses.
I want to talk about Tom Melbourne and Galo Chop and everything, but you told me last night you've bought a horse, a four-year-old called Nordic Flight from Germany, a big group. I note that Neil Werrett's in there as well, but he's now with Lee and Anthony Friedman in Melbourne.
Yes, he is. He's currently down at Warrnambool doing some pre-training, and he'll come back to the Flemington Stables in about 2 weeks, but he's a lovely horse. He's a group class horse, and he has taken a little while to settle in. We gelded him when he got here, and we've taken our time with him, but we'd hope that he'd measure up to weight for age class in the spring.
Okay, I'm looking at it. He's been placed in a German St. Ledger. He's run in a couple of listed races as well. So he's a horse that, 2,000, or are we looking longer than that?
Yeah, probably 2,400.
Yeah.
And you know what these European horses are like when they get out here. If they're good 2,000-metre horses, they can often run our staying distances. So we'd see him ideally as possibly a Caulfield Cup type horse.
Okay, we'll monitor him. Nordic Flight, who's in pre-training, a four-year-old. Tom Melbourne, I'll never forget that Albury Cup win, Terry.
Well, it was rather unusual, wasn't it?
It was.
And it was almost as unusual as his race down at Mornington the following race, where I think after they'd gone 2,000 metres, he was 3 seconds under the track record for 2,000 metres. So the horse has got some talent. The challenge is now for him to become a racehorse and not just a fast horse.
Yep.
And so, as you know, Lee and Anthony are working on that. And I looked at the horse last week and he looks super. He comes back into work with them to get ready for a spring campaign.
He could, if he can, that challenge of being a racehorse, if he can just take that, you know, that style of just wanting to run along at 100 miles an hour like a young kid, he could be anything, couldn't he?
He really could. Glenn Boss was full of praise for him after a couple of his runs, particularly that run at Flemington where he just sat off them and was still able to finish off. And I think Ben Malam, in going a little too fast at Mornington, said, look, he just doesn't give you the feeling that he's going as fast as he is. So it's a combination of understanding the horse, finding out how best he should race, and I think the fundamental talent's there. It's the challenge to get him to use that talent in the way that gets him to perform at his best in races.
Their Group 1 winners, Lee and Anthony Friedman, how do they try and do it, Terry?
Look, they basically work the horse in from behind. They get him more and relaxed. He's a nervy sort of a horse. He's a very, very unusual horse. When he first arrived, Lee was saying that he stands in the middle of his box and piles all his hay in the middle as if he wants to be king of the stable.
Yeah.
And yet he settled down remarkably well, and Anthony's facilities down the bay are perfect for horses to spell. And he's in with an old stallion and now quite relaxed. But I think it's just a matter of going slowly, working them in a manner that they feel comfortable in behind, and really getting to use their talent in a way that, wins races. But it's, as we know, the three boys have got the skills and experience to be able to do that with these horses.
Yeah, for sure. And you listen to, I interviewed Glenn after winning the Albury Cup, and you can just hear that the horse has got the talent. He's just got to settle down in the way that he does it, and let's hope Lee and Anthony can do that. If he does, I mean, is he an automatic sort of Caulfield Cup type, do you feel?
Well, he's probably a little more precocious than that, and I think that to make any decision before he'd run in a couple of the better races over a mile would be premature. But he's giving the indication that, a race like the Mackay Diva might be within his grasp, and if he does that, well, then that opens up all sorts of options, obviously. But you'd have to just tread quietly until you see how he comes back.
Understand. Galo Chop, I was reading in some media coverage this morning that the horse is going to come here off a tendon injury, but there is a chance that we could see the horse when?
Easter next year, I think.
Okay.
No matter what, you think it takes a good 12 months for these injuries to recover. And whilst I think in Australia, probably because we've got more tendon injuries than most other countries, we've now got processes that really give you some confidence you can get back. And there are plenty of horses that have now got back and performed at the top level. So we'd take our time with him. He arrives in Australia in June. He'll go through rehabilitation and he'll start work early next year, and hopefully we'll have him ready for Easter next year. But a combination of timing and also the softer tracks in Sydney would be to that horse's benefit.
Understand. And you'll work out who's going to train. It'll be a local trainer.
Probably a local. Anton Dwondrakant has done a great job with this horse, and we're certainly not wanting to put a line through that relationship quickly.
Yep.
So we'll make an assessment as the horse gets started in the new year.
Understand. We look forward to seeing him in hopefully the autumn of next year. Where's your next runner?
Well, Tall Ship's the interesting one.
Oh, of course, yes, Tall Ship,
So he's...
The reports are coming back to me pretty solid on him.
I know Weary's very happy with him, and Johnny Allen's been riding him, and I know they're delighted with the way he's coming along. He's only going to have a cameo appearance in the autumn. He'll have this run, and he'll have 3 weeks off, and then he'll start and try and be ready for the Bart Cummings and earn a ticket into the Melbourne Cup that way. But what he's done down at Warrnambool and in his gallops, the various tracks around the Western District, has been very good. And so we're really delighted with him, and he's over there with Master Zephyr, who's a sort of a year behind Tall Ship and a progressive young horse, and he'll probably go to Adelaide rather than the Andrew Ramsden at Flemington, and he should be fairly hard to beat over there, I think.
Okay, Tall Ship, looking forward to that in the lead. We're about to have a chat with Tony McAvoy, who's got a runner in that race as well, Alpine Eagle. Terry, thanks for your time. I hope Tom Melbourne comes back and settles really well, and we'll keep an eye out for Nordic Empire come the spring.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Terry. Good on you, mate. Terry Henderson there joining us. Good stuff from him. Plenty of news around, and the reports on Tall Ship are pretty good. Tony McAvoy's online. He's got Alpine Eagle resuming in the Lee Stakes in Adelaide on Saturday. Morning to you, Tony.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. How are you, mate?
Very well. Obviously, the horse suffered an injury going back to after that last run in the Mackay Diva in September. You've been very patient bringing him through. What's your gut instinct telling you about Saturday?
Well, it's very nice to have him back at the races, Andrew. He's been ready to go to the races for some time, but sadly, at this time of the year, that injury put us in a spot where there's very few races to run a horse with a rating of 106. So 104. So we just had to bide our time and wait, and we've got him in on Saturday, and I'm very much looking forward to it, and so is he.
I reckon he'll be really. I mean, you've had the jump out, and you've had an official trial, and obviously gallops at Angaston. How forward is he, Tony? Given that, will he only run this one time?
Yeah, just the once, Andrew, and then we'll back off again and sweeten for the spring then. So, as I say, you know, he could run again, but there's no race.
So he's
forward. He's ready. Obviously, he'll be a bit ring rusty, having not run for a long time. And trials trials are trials, but they don't replace races. But I'm really happy with him going into the race, Andrew.
Okay. I guess the one thing is you didn't want a wide draw and have him. I know his racing pattern is get back, but he won't have to, like from barrier two, he doesn't have to exceed himself early.
No. Well, barriers, the way he's races, barriers are not that important for him. He just settles back anyway. But no, barrier two, Mark can just come out on his neck and take his time, get him into a nice rhythm, and he should have a lovely run.
Class can carry you a fair way, Tony. You know that more than me. But, I mean, he's got the class that could easily win this race.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, he could win. But, it's not the end of the world if he doesn't win this race. But he'll run a very competitive race. And he's a good class caliper, as we know. The thing I'm finding, the more I'm learning about him, Andrew, is that he really wants ground now. His pedigree is really starting to show through, so that's why the milers will love the mile first up.
Yeah, I was just going to say the 1600. Have you spoken to Wolf about the spring?
No, we're just going to get through this stage first. But look, if he comes back and tells us that's the way he wants to be, I mean, the Caulfield Cup's the perfect race for him. Mile and a half, I think that's where he would aim, and then you've got all the races around that. I mean, there's plenty of races for him.
Yeah, understand. You've got large numbers in both Melbourne and Adelaide on Saturday outside Alpine Eagle. Can I ask you if you've made a decision on sense of occasion?
Yes, he'll go to Adelaide, Andrew. He arrived here this morning, and he's going to run the mile and a half on Saturday here in Adelaide.
The Port Adelaide Cup. He's just suited by that sort of trip, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Like, his two runs for me have been at 2,000, and they've been okay runs. But he's a mile and a half horse, is what he is. So I'm looking forward to getting him out for that trip.
Mate, good luck. I know you've got jump outs and trials there with track work. We thank you for your time. Good luck with Alpine Eagle. Hope he can run right up to what you expect.
Yeah, thanks very much, Andrew.
Good on you, Tony. Tony McAvoy there from Angaston, and that's where big money is, Angaston. He arrived there late yesterday afternoon for Rod Northam going into the Group 1 Goodwood. All the reports are good on the way that he's travelled down, had an overnight stay at West Wyalong, and he's now at Angaston in country environment, what he's used to out at Scone. Let's go to England now and find out the latest on Vancouver heading towards our time, Saturday night into Sunday morning, the Group 2 Greenland Stakes at the Curragh. And Graham Dench from Racing Post in the UK is on the line. Hello to you, Graham.
Hi, Andrew.
Great to talk to you. A lot of interest from down under on Vancouver. A star horse, a star juvenile horse for Gay Waterhouse. You went to Aidan O'Brien's Ballydoyle property last week. You spotted lots of horses, including Vancouver.
Yeah, this was a media trip last Monday. It was a media trip sponsored by Investec, you know, the Derby, who backed the Derby.
Yep.
So it wasn't strictly about Vancouver, but we saw him amongst the 100, 150 other horses of Aidan's, and, you know, he stood out even in a pack like that.
I know he's had him...
He's quite a horse to look at, isn't he?
He is. He's a big, stunning horse, and getting reports from Coolmore that... They seem to look. It's been slightly rushed given the time that he got there, but he seems to have done well.
Well, Aidan seems quite excited about him, but he's got a pretty small window of opportunity with him. There's only really eight. He's been here 8 weeks. The Greenlands is this Saturday. Diamond Jubilee is another 4 weeks on from that. Then the Darley July Cup, and then he's home, isn't he? So. He hadn't really got long to make the most of him.
Exactly. From what you could glean last week at your trip, everyone seemed to be pretty happy?
Well, they are, but Aidan said, he stressed, I think everyone has to be prepared for him to get beaten first time out. he's really only ready for a race course gallop, but we have to run him in a race so we can learn more about him for the bigger targets.
Yeah.
He said, I'm getting ready for a bashing. I'm well used to it. Didn't I get a hammering down there when over So You Think?
Gee, he's got a good memory, Aidan, hasn't he? We weren't too harsh on him.
he's obviously very sensitive.
Yeah,
He didn't do badly with So You Think, though, did he? I think he won 5 group ones with him.
Yeah, exactly. No, look, he's a champion trainer. Tell us...
he's a brilliant trainer.
Yeah, I mean, the records tell it. When you go to Ballydoyle for a media day, do they take you around and show you a lot of their horses, Graeme?
Well, we saw first lot and second lot. There must have been 50 or 60 horses in each one. We didn't really tour the stables, but, you know, we watched them up and down the gallop a couple of times, and he talked about each one of them as they went by. He knew every horse. They're all brown or bay, doesn't have any greys, and he knew every rider, and he's in touch with every one of them on a walkie-talkie. It's an amazing carry-on.
It is an amazing thing. I was there a few years ago when So You Think was actually there, and it's really he's got a phone connected to every jockey, so he can tell them slow down, go quicker, all this sort of stuff.
But he was he seemed very relaxed there. I think he's probably more relaxed at home than he is on the race course.
Yeah.
And he was very, very chatty. But the line that stood out for me, he said, what we're asking of him is next to impossible, but maybe he's good enough.
Well, let's hope he is for Coolmore. Obviously, they've got him standing at stud here in Australia in the Hunter Valley of New South Wales later this year. So, you know, that is the reason for the quick turnaround, that they're trying to get that group one so they can maybe travel in between Ireland and
Absolutely.
Australia.
Yeah. But, you know, you'll be amazed. He's a 20-1 chance for the Diamond Jubilee and the same for the July Cup. He's still under the radar over here.
Yeah. The final field for the Greenlands isn't out yet, but there's a couple there that our listeners will know. Gordon Lord Byron's among the entries. We saw that horse in Sydney a couple of years ago, and Aidan's got two or three others. So it looks like a competitive race.
Yeah, it is competitive, but it is only a group two.
Yep.
There's a horse called Bobby's Kitten of Dermot Wells. You may remember running the Breeders' Cup.
Yep.
He's won already this year. He'd be one of the main players. But it is a group two there, and there are no superstars in there, and apart from possibly him.
Yeah, understand. For Dermot Well, Bobby's Kitten. So, look, we'll watch it with great interest, Vancouver. It sounds like it's been a rush, but they've got to get him to the races.
Exactly, yeah. Whatever he does on Saturday, he will step up on considerably by the sound of it.
He'll improve on. Willie Mullins was down under in the spring, our spring, for the Melbourne Cup with Max Dynamite. He's on the way back for Royal Ascot. He's got another horse called Wicklow Brave, who ran well at Chester recently, who could end up running in a Melbourne Cup later on this year. So going into your summer period, there's a lot of interest from down under.
Yeah, absolutely. Wicklow Brave won at Royal Ascot last year, I think, didn't he? I think he's... Part owned by Ruby Walsh's wife. It's an interesting horse.
Yeah, well, watch for him.
You know, Aidan's got so many horses that would be good on the flat, but mainly race over jumps. But, you know, they're really, really good flat horses too.
Understand.
As you saw last year.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, watch for Vancouver. Graeme, thanks for giving us a little bit of knowledge after being there to see a lot of horses, but including Vancouver last week at Ballydoyle.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Good on you, Graeme. Graeme Dench joining us there from the Racing Post in the UK. On the international racing, the barrier draw has been done over the last couple of hours for Sunday morning's Preakness Stakes. Of course, Nyquist is the favourite, winning the Kentucky Derby. It's drawn gate 3. So it's drawn really well will, as expected right now, looking at the American markets, to start a short price favourite. More on the Preakness tomorrow morning on Racing HQ. The race is on Sunday morning, the middle leg of the American Triple Crown. Final guest this morning is young apprentice Nick Haywood. He's made his way into Sydney now with Peter and Paul Snowden, and work's finished this morning. How are you, Nick?
Not too bad, yourself?
Good to talk to you, mate. Such an exciting time for you.
Yeah, no, it's great. Great opportunity, and it should be a good eye opener for me.
So I think you came down a couple of weeks ago and prepared yourself, but you've been there this week. How's it gone?
Yeah, I come up last Friday. He asked me to come up to ride some trials. So I come up and rode some track work and done the trials, and just to get the sort of gist of what they do different up this way.
Yep.
And yeah, I've been here since Monday, and so far it's been so good.
Fantastic. What is different between back home at Wagga and that area compared to what you've seen this week?
It's a lot of different aspects. Like even just in the stables, it's completely different. But in track work, you sort of the more in their times we're down there, they sort of go off the feel of the horse.
Yep.
It's very different.
And you've jumped on sort of a good number each morning this week.
I haven't really counted. The more you count, the more you don't want to get on them. But without counting, I'll probably have to say I've done about 8 probably every morning.
Yeah, that's good. Great. Mate, this is just, you must be pinching yourself just to get this experience.
Oh, it's probably 1 in a million opportunity, and I was lucky to get the opportunity to come up here and have a good crack at it.
How did it come about, Nick?
Sort of my father, Chris Hayward, and Peter Roble sort of talking a little bit. I think maybe Peter Roble might have put a word in for me, but I'm not too entirely sure.
Yeah, just a great opportunity.
Yeah, that's it, and hopefully I can sort of get some winners for him. It'd be nice.
Yeah, for sure. When do you think you'll have your first rides?
Peter and Paul gave me free rides at Newcastle this Saturday.
Right.
I've been suspended for the last 2 weeks, and I came back Tuesday. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great thing. We're waiting for those fields to come out. So 3 at Newcastle on the Beaumont track on Saturday. And at this stage, Nick, how long's the stay in Sydney?
I'm on a 3-month loan at the moment.
Yep.
All going well. Hopefully I'll stay for a bit longer.
Yep.
It all depends on how well I go and if they want to keep going with me.
No, I understand. Are you one that misses home or not, mate?
Not really. I used to go to boarding school, so that sort of has helped in ways.
Yeah, understand. Well, mate, it's, as you've said there, a 1 in a million opportunity. We wish you the best. We look forward to seeing you on a more constant manner around Sydney and around the provincial track starting on Saturday at Newcastle, mate. And we thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
Good on you. Nick Haywood joining us there from Wagga. Good on you, Chris. I know Nick's father was listening to that. He's going to go well. He's a really good, sensible kid. Saturday's racing. Let's just go through that for you to bring you up to date. Rose Hill Gardens, fine and a good 3. Now, Salita has come out. Race 6, number 8. Bjorn Baker has decided to run Salita in Brisbane up there. So Salita out of the first leg of the quaddy. We've got Doomben Racing, of course, the Doomben Cup on Saturday. That track at the moment is a good 4. Spieth, who was an emergency in race 8, has been scratched to run at Rose Hill, so it's a good 4 at Doomben. And Morfordville in Adelaide, they've got the Group 1 Goodwood there. And let's check the latest information for that program. Fine and a good 4. Fine, a good 4. Just checking whether there's any significant scratchings apart from Griante. No, not at this stage. It's the only scratching out of the Goodwood, race 7, number 5. Just a couple of other quick snippets. Zach Purton, as I mentioned yesterday, he's coming back to ride the horse Brazen in the Grand Prix and the Queensland Derby. He's now booked to ride Fell Swoop in the Doomben 10,000. And Divine Centura, who we've seen for Stuart Kendrick win back-to-back wins in Queensland, is still in the entries for the Doomben 10,000, and serious consideration is being given to run the horse up against experienced horses on Saturday's week. So we'll keep an eye on that. That's it for Racing HQ this morning. We're back tomorrow. We'll talk Preakness. Our Friday experts, Simon Dinopoulos and Brad Davidson, will be with us. Lots of preview material for the weekend, so stay with us tomorrow morning.